This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he does this on purpose. He needs it. And, you know, LeBron's a perfect target because LeBron's a guy who is more than happy to engage in this sort of back and forth.
Where you at, Willard? Oh,
you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco.
Goo, I listened to a lot of the conversation that you guys had on air, and what I struggled to figure out when you kept saying that it's like bad for him or bad for his brand, I don't mind if you don't like it. Okay. You can be bothered. Anybody can be bothered by anything, and so if it turns you off, that's fine. I'm trying to figure out, though, what it is about this situation that you think is going to lead to some actual measurable net negative problem for anybody involved.
Wow, it's a great question, Willard, and I'll respond like this. I'm a Stephen A. Smith fan, and I've seen him from the beginning when he got wiped out, let go, and came back, the resurgence. So I've been noticing some things to where, man, and it's his life, he's doing a lot of things, not turn off, but I'm like, man, he's expanding, and I kind of didn't like it. And with this incident, I thought he was right. I was Team Stephen A. when it first went down. But you had the man right in front of your face, Willard, and you didn't say anything. Then you go on the tour of 4 or 5 podcasts, and he had his chest poked out about, and now he's talking about, I would have swung if all this and that. And I look at Stephen A. like, Willard, a smarter guy than that, and now this is turning into like some, not street stuff, but stuff you expect to see in the streets or the barber shop. And I just thought, he don't care what I think, was on a higher pedestal than that. So from all the people like myself that look at Stephen A. as the smart guy in the room, turn the cheek or turn the other way, he's actually turning into what I thought he was so far from, and I guess that's what I'm having difficulty processing.
For me, the reality is, like, this is who he is. He's a genius, and that's why I texted you that, because you sent me his, like, retractive apology on Twitter where, you know, in hour two, I acknowledged that he actually was in attendance at Kobe's funeral.
Wow.
So why would you say it in the first place unless you wanted to get this reaction? Oh, so, like, oh, it turns out, LeBron, you were there. But the whole headline was like, LeBron didn't go to Kobe's funeral. I can't believe it, LBJ. You say that you're supposed to be one of the OGs and you didn't show up. And then an hour later, he then realized that he actually was there. Come on, Stephen A.
I mean, do you know how hard it is?
Tell me.
To get this radio station to talk about something other than the big three teams in this town.
Got you. That was a home run, Will, but...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I guess that what I would say to you, Goo, is I think that whatever pedestal you might have put him up on prior to this, that might have been on you. Like, I don't look at this stuff and think of him as a bad guy either. In fact, I know that Stephen A. is not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy, but he has a business, and it generates at least $20 million per year.
Man.
And this is the business. This is the business. Like, and I get that you guys, and I you said it earlier, you can feel like that's a really bad reflection on society as a whole right now. I think when people get into their 50s and 60s and 70s, they often think that about society, no matter what. So you can feel that way, but the bottom line is the man is in entertainment, he is in commentary, he is a public figure, and so none of this stuff is bad, and I don't subscribe to all publicity is good publicity.
Okay, I don't.
But this is not bad publicity.
Wow.
It's just not. Like, there's no smear that happens, and I know these people sit around. In fact, I've been told, like, the Skip Baylesses and Stephen A's, you get them off camera and at a party, they will clink glasses and chuckle at the way the world spins whenever they say something crazy. That's their business. It's their model. Follows it to a T. And you got to ramp it up once whatever you were doing at first becomes mundane. You got to push it up.
How about that thumb injury?
Yeah.
For Gary Payton.
Thanks for the insight, too, Will. Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
Yeah. Well, it's from Doc Pandya, but he related, which was nice. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be like other people and act like I'm a doctor when I'm just a radio host.
No, but can you?
I am both a radio doctor and a radio host, and I can tell you right away, and you didn't ask me, Goo, which is, you know, offensive, because apparently you and I were in a fight over me coming after Stephen A., but when you have torn ligaments in a thumb on your shooting hand, it's going to be at least 3 weeks, probably four.
Wow.
And I mean, that's a guarantee. And my only question was, did it happen during the game or at practice? Because
shut up, man.
You're kidding, right? No. This is a shtick, right?
Steiny, I'm sitting next to him, and I know why you're asking, because I heard that part of your show. But I'm looking at his face. This is not that.
Wow.
He literally does not know that you guys did 17 minutes on that earlier today.
So, Dib, should I fill you in?
Yeah, do it.
So, you know, Goo was saying he injured, and he goes, Stein, when do you think it happened? You think it happened during the game? And I'm like, I don't know, Goo. He's like, well, then, you know, a minute or two later, do you think it happened in the game or at practice? And finally, I was like, well, who cares? It's 3 to 6 weeks. And he goes, I'm just curious. And I'm like, okay, it happened at practice. Now, what does that mean? So we got into it, and then you said you were curious to hear. So, you know, I look bad on that one.
Right. Well, and apparently it did happen during the game. And my only curiosity was, like, coming off of two bad games, did they have a practice where they were actually getting after it? And so he's out there, and they're getting after it, and he got hurt in a practice where, you know what? And if I were Steve Kerr, and you did what you did in Atlanta, and then I gave you a couple of nights in Miami, and then you did what you did in Miami, and then you gave him another night in Miami, no, I would have packed them up on the plane, and we would have been running gassers. I know it's a high school thing, but, like, you had that effort in Atlanta, and then we gave you extra nights in Miami, and you did that. Going to New Orleans, and we're going to practice, we're going to get after it. So I was just wondering if, like, it happened during a hard practice against New Orleans. Probably not, but, you know, and I didn't see anything in the game against Miami where it was like, oh, like you said, Goo, GP2 is, like, holding his hand, and
nothing.
Now he has to come out, so.
Well, I'd like to know.
That's incredible.
I would like to know the exact minute. I'd like to know the time, and I'd like to know how far above the equator he was when the injury happened. That's what I was hoping.
Well, you should.
Out.
I mean, if we're going to grind on everything.
I'm being serious. I want to know these things.
Well, I actually think this probably happened a few weeks ago. Right before he got hot from three-point range. Maybe it's because of the injury. Who knows?
I mean, man,
he's shooting the hell out of it.
Well,
yeah,
the bigger issue is this is not an injury to be sort of like swept under the rug because he's just a bench player. I think this is a problematic thing for the Warriors, who are already kind of struggling defensively of late, and it makes them turn to even more of their young players at the biggest of moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know how ready they are. Hey, I really don't.
You know what? We're going to find out. But I do, before we get out of here, I want to ask you, too. I love the game of baseball. We know the Giants are opening up. But I asked Steiny this, and I want to hear from you, too, Willard and Dibs. How far do you think right now the Giants are behind the Warriors and Niners? Is it on their bumper, or do you think they're – Steiny gave me his answer, but I'm curious to see how far the Giants from kind of in the Bay – because I feel like they're third, Will and Dibs.
What do you mean by, like, do you mean by in terms of their performance or
popularity?
Their Q rating. Okay.
And I think that comes with winning, you know?
It comes with winning, but, I mean, the Warriors are number one, and I don't think it's close. Right. You've got Steph, and you got four titles, and you're in the mix right now, and you know you got Steph for two more years. And the Niners are interesting because, you know, you look at the end of last year, and that last home game, there was a lot of empty seats. So there wasn't a lot of clamor for, you know, we got to be there for the Niners. And I do think about the Giants, and a lot of it is tied to winning. Because right now, if you thought, like, Steiny, if you had an 8-year-old who was a Giants fan, like, what jersey would you buy? I mean, Jung-Hoo Lee, sure, he'll be here for a while. Adamas, he's making his debut today. Logan Webb, every 5 days. You don't really have that anchor person, and it feels like when they won 107?
Yep, 107.
That feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and it was only four.
Wow.
I'm with Dibs, and take it a little step further, or even tie it to what you were just saying earlier about Stephen A. and LeBron. I think the Giants are definitely third, and yes, it's tied to winning, but I think even more so it's tied to this. They don't have people that other people want to talk about.
Wow, man.
That's all it is, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be 30 home runs or whatever, like a superstar, because I don't know if people would call Brock Purdy a superstar.
Are you saying personality, Willard?
Well, it's not even just that. It's just interesting people, and that can develop out of winning or other things as well. But, like, yeah, Brock Purdy is my example, because I think some people would be like, that's not a superstar, but a lot of people want to talk about him. Like, they want to talk about Kyle Shanahan. They want to talk about Brock Purdy. They want to talk about George Kittle. They want to follow him on Instagram. They want to know about what his wife is wearing at the game and what that looked like when they interacted. And the same thing is true for the Warriors. People want to watch Steph Curry warm up, and they want to know about Draymond's podcast and what's Jimmy Butler doing, and his buddy Hield changed his hair. The Giants don't really, they're short on that right now. So, and to me, that's the number one thing in this kind of day and age.
Wow. All right, gents.
Can I ask you a question before you leave, dog on the shoulder guy?
Yeah. Oh, you can ask.
All right. So this is along the lines of what you just asked, but what if we did this more within the framework of actual wins and losses and this year? If I asked you, what is the likelihood that 2025 comes to a close and all three, the Warriors, Giants, and 49ers, have made the postseason?
I would put that at 15 to 20%.
Okay. Go.
I'm going to go 55.
55?
Yeah. I think the Giants can get in. I think they're better bullpen. And the Niners schedule, although there's no draft and I know a lot of names left, I feel like they got action. So I'm going to go 65.
How How many of the three will make the playoffs would be the follow-up. Like, the Warriors are about a 90% chance. I think maybe the actual odds are higher.
Yeah, 98 right now, says the analytics.
Wow, actually
okay.
make the playoffs.
Right.
And,
okay.
I mean, I would
so
put,
two for sure, Dibs.
Well, and the Niners are
well,
probably, like, pending the draft. Warriors. The Niners have got to be, like, 65%.
Yeah.
And then the Giants are probably at about 40%. So
that's interesting, man.
Yeah.
You got answers, Danny?
I said 15 to 20%.
Oh yeah.
That all three, but how
right.
many? If I put the over under at 1.5 teams,
under. I'm going
you go
over.
Under one
I'm
and
going
a half.
Over. I would.
Okay.
And it's one team and one team only, and that's the Niners.
Oh wow. Yeah.
I mean, they want like I'm just looking at them as a six win team, and they got to get to 10 or 11.
Vegas
next year.
Has some steel. We said
not
10.5. What's going
hey.
On?
Actually, I'm on FanGraphs right now for the Giants playoff odds at 0-0
in real time.
Yeah. What do you? Yeah. But they are a full game out of first place
already.
So.
I forgot.
Yeah, full game out of first already.
Man, it's
what
over.
What do you guys think their current playoff odds are?
25.
I'm going to go 34.
Okay. Well, Dibs, you're looking at it.
I am, but
you
I
guys,
like their guesses.
You literally just split it. It's 30.9.
Right.
Wow,
and that's
30.
The epitome of their show. Guru was too high. Rarely. Steiny was too low. You guys are perfect. You guys are the best.
Hey, yeah, and I'll just finish out by saying we too low.
Well, I thought you wanted to know what I was talking to boss
wow.
about.
Oh,
you'll find
God.
Out.
I don't
now.
Care.
We'll
see
that at 3 Steiny. O'clock tomorrow, Willard. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know
I got Willard till 3
for
tomorrow.
For the first time ever, there's going to be extended just Willard and Goop
that,
man.
Tomorrow.
You wanted to know, and that's
you
what
get,
it is.
You get 45 minutes of the all-new Willard and Goop show.
You got to see his face.
Right?
Stoddy, look into the camera.
Are you ready?
I don't.
I'm looking in the camera.
Okay.
Are you ready?
We're short staffed.
Okay.
Guys
we're
are going.
Short staffed.
See, this
You're
is why.
To make it sound like something we wanted to do.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
all right.
He looks concerned. That's why I had to do it that way.
I need to process this.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to withhold responding right now.
Okay.
I need a 10-minute cooling off period like they do in the NBA.
And where do you need that 10-minute
95-7 on the game.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Night-night.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go. Let's go. We are in the middle of it all yet again, and I'm especially happy for you.
Thank
because
you.
Because we were here last Thursday. It was in these seats that we sat last Thursday and took a drunk dial from Dan Dibley. It was right here in these seats.
I was fine. Please don't do a Dan Dibley replay. I have no idea what I said.
It was right here in these seats.
My God.
But you spoke to three different entities at the same time. Us, the TVs, and security guards. Who were fouling you in Vegas live on the scene. So now you get to be here in the midst of it all on another big day at Splash and down at Thrive City. I mean, if there's ever been a day built for Dan Dibley, it's this. Is right outside our door.
And I can't wait because you got a couple of good games here. You've got Maryland taking on Florida, and Florida's a team that I thought was cut out to win the whole thing, but Maryland has been kind of a fun little surprise. They're a 4 seed.
I got the Terps in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
In the bracket.
That means they beat Florida.
That means they win tonight.
Yeah, and the whole thing about
But
this,
I don't know what I'm talking about, so it's just something I did with a pen.
No, you do. And
I just want to let everybody know that.
Well, and the SEC has been incredible. And then the late game, of course, is Arkansas with John Calipari, who seems to like keep doing it against Texas Tech, who is patently better, but they are ripe for an upset. And two other games in between. So, yes, Come 4:09 when the first game tips, you might as well start your solo radio journey.
Well, you know what? I'm ready for it.
Okay.
We're going to be all over it. Kirk Lacob is going to be here at 3:00.
Can't wait.
Ish, something like that.
Yep,
somewhere
yep.
3:30. We'll hang out.
I can't wait to ask him about Cooper Flagg.
Cooper Flagg. Yeah, he's gonna. That's gonna be a note from him, dog. He's not gonna talk about any specific guy, but you can talk about it. Are there any prospects that wear blue that you like? You could do something like that. Find a creative entry point.
But also, they're gonna probably lose their first round pick unless they wind up in the lottery and they wind up in the top 10. So they're not
gonna wind up in the lottery.
And they're not gonna wind up in the top 10.
Yeah.
So their first round pick is gone. So I mean, really, it wouldn't be tampering if he didn't have a first round pick, but he won't know that yet. And so, you know, I might just ask him about his Stanford Cardinal being a member of the ACC.
Okay.
And how that feels.
Pretty exciting, yeah. Want to see a home game? Fly to North Carolina to go.
Like, when Wake Forest came for the first time, did that give you all the feels?
All the feels.
Right.
Yeah, very exciting.
It's just, I mean, what are we doing?
Anyway, it is a special day down here and a very Bay Area, San Francisco type of day because we got all kinds of different personalities from all different places around the country, all coming together to eat nachos at the same time. Splash is the site right outside Thrive City and Chase Center. That's where we originate today to talk it all out, and Kirk Lacob is going to be on the show, as we said, here in a little bit. And one of the things I do want to ask him, not just about future Warriors, but current Warriors. Let me share with you a text message I got from a good buddy just 2 days ago.
A source?
Not a source.
Okay.
No. Just a fan. Just a friend.
So you say he's just a friend?
I say he's just a friend.
Oh, baby, you?
He's got what I need because it's
you never let me down.
It's content. It's content right here on 95.7 The Game. Because actually, he literally distracted me in the middle of a conversation with you because he is a New Yorker, but he's a basketball Jones, man. He's into it, right? And so when he texts me, he has something to say. He has something to say. And what he wanted to say was the Golden State Warriors developmental program sucks.
What?
That's his take.
Okay.
That's his take. I'll read the exact text to you here in a second, but that's the summary of what he had to say.
Yeah.
The Warriors cannot develop players, and it really especially popped to mind when I saw that Gary Payton II is going to be out potentially even for the rest of the year if we look at this.
Right.
It's possible.
Oh, it's most likely.
Well, but you're talking
three
regular
more
season,
weeks.
Right?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's possible that he misses everything.
Yeah.
And the Warriors may need to advance in the playoffs. Doc Pandya has told me that it can be just a pain issue, so therefore he referenced Jimmy Garoppolo, who went through something similar and played through it. It's not perfect, but you can. So he's like, in theory, he could be back in a week and a half, for example. Not likely, but probably more like 4 to 6. And there is a chance that it's a surgical procedure, and we've seen GP2 not just for the last time this year. Who knows? Maybe he's played his last game as a Warrior. Like, that's a real thing.
Right.
Right now. So, with all that, it really speaks to me to the idea that as we get to the final 10 games of the regular season and a potential playoff push, the Warriors are going to need to rely on some of their young players. The older players are just that. They're leaking oil right now with Steph exhausted and Jimmy Butler not playing well the last two games. Same with Draymond. And we're all talking about Jonathan Kuminga and this and that. And now maybe your best on-ball defender becomes Moses Moody?
Right.
I mean, is that the play now? So there's minutes available and there's an absolute need. How are we feeling? And we want to put this out to you. 888-957-9570. Do you buy that the Warriors are good at developing young talent or not?
It just depends on what you want to consider development. And I think every individual is different and every case is different. And we had a little show thread going, and I was thinking about, like, the other teams that are always good or always competing for titles. How do they do in development? Because, you know, if you look at Detroit, Cade Cunningham, who was good in college, and he came in here and he's been developed and he's turned into a top 20 player because his team hasn't been very good until January. January. Now they're good. And still, though, they don't have any expectations. So he can develop in a way like Paolo Banchero. 1 year at Duke, he was good, and he's come in, and he's trending toward being a star. It's fine. You're in Orlando. It doesn't matter. So development is not a fair bar across the board. So when you get Kuminga and Moody and James Wiseman, they come into a championship culture where we can't give you 28 minutes a night right. for 82 games. We're not going to do that. So your development, for me, becomes a different trajectory. And the one example I gave to you on the thread was Peyton Pritchard,
sure.
who has turned
Celtics.
Into a real, really good player. But when you look at Peyton Pritchard, he's 27. He played 4 years at Oregon. He came into Boston, and he slowly has built his way into being a six-man, a knockdown shooter. And yes, Grandy, I know you're listening somewhere. He's from Oregon, but he's 27. So I do think when you look at, like, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, and even James Wiseman's a great example. James Wiseman played 40 minutes of college basketball. His year got shut down because he was deemed ineligible. He was 18, raw, a project. Did they develop him? No.
Yeah.
Has he developed elsewhere? No. So is that a Warrior problem or is that a Wiseman problem?
I want to answer this, but I have some breaking news. Oh. Lucas, Ken, who's on the
board? Somebody hit the damn button.
Hit the breaking news.
Hit the button.
Somebody up to thank you.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Moses Moody's going to join us in a half hour.
Wait, Moses Moody?
Yeah. We're sitting here talking about Moses Moody, who is now, for now, the best on-ball defender. He also played at Arkansas, about to tip off
yeah.
here at Chase Center in a matter of hours. And Moses Moody, from the team hotel, is going to join us here at about 3 o'clock.
Oh, I thought you were saying in person.
No, he's with the team.
I mean, it'd be like They're cooler if he was here. That mulleted guy in the Arkansas sweatshirt would lose his...
That really would have been breaking news.
Yes.
Moses Moody has left the team so that he can eat nachos with us
Duh.
Here at Thrive City.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
They are good.
They're really good, and
anyway.
I can't wait to talk to Moses. And it's
anyway,
weird.
Yeah, Moses Moody's going to join us. I just got that confirmation.
And Arkansas now is different than what Arkansas was then. I mean, that was E-Mus, and they had a great team, and they made a great run, and now it's John Calipari, and a totally different thing, but I'm sure he's all about those hogs, Sui, and the whole thing. Maybe we can get him to do it.
Do a Wo-Pick Sui?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He might. Although
might
coming
not.
Off an 0-for-9 from
yeah,
3,
yeah.
he might be a little bit more demure.
And Moses, he's chill.
He's super chill.
He's kind of chill. You
yeah.
know what I mean? He does yoga.
We do yoga.
He does yoga.
Him and Kevon, yeah.
That might be, was that the last time Moses came on with us?
Maybe.
I'm not sure, but anyway, Moses, that's awesome.
Great booking, Lucas. Good job. What happened? You okay?
Sorry, that made me laugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, yeah, great job. So Moses
yeah.
Moody
yeah.
is going to join us, and actually, we will find a way to ask him this question. I'm not going to be like, dude, the Warriors suck at development or not, but I would love to know about the process that he's gone through, and I think that it is key to this conversation with the Warriors. If we want to be real, the Moseses, the Kamingas of the world, if they could have had their choice, would they be drafted by the Warriors? Because as you just said, the Warriors cannot offer these young players as many minutes and the freedom to just like, we'll just go out there and throw the ball into the third row if you want, and we'll learn and figure it out. So they get fewer minutes and a shorter runway, but they also get to grow up in a championship culture.
Right.
And they get to grow up around true future Hall of Famers. And I gotta think that there's a lot of value in that. And I'm sure if you ask them publicly, their answer is going to be like, no, that's definitely worth it. And I don't know if they totally feel that way, but that's sort of the push-pull. And it's one of the reasons I do give the Warriors a little bit of a different assessment than maybe some other teams.
Of course.
when we come to this, because that's a part of the deal. And they do have Kuminga and Moody and Pajemski, and now it's Quinton Post. Is it perfect? It's definitely not been perfect, but they are finding young players and turning them into contributors.
And Moses won a title as a rookie, and my question for Moses will be, how do you get better? Like, if you only play, and I'm looking at his rookie year, he played 11.7 minutes a game over 52 games. That's about 600 minutes where, you know, other guys in his class are playing 30 minutes a night. Franz Wagner and all the rest of the guys, oh, they should have drafted Wagner and this and that. But how do you, as a young player in this spot, how do you get better? Because you look at Moses, and every year he's gotten a little bit better. And now he's a starter in year four, right?
Yep. So what do y'all think? Like, can we debunk that thought, or do you want to feed it that the Warriors are not good with young players? 888-957-9570. We'd love to take your calls. We're live at Splash Thrive City. We're about to dive into a bunch of the food, and we'll tell you all about it.
Oh, yeah.
Give you the review. And Moses Moody and Kirk Lacob are both scheduled on the show here within the hour. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater, and it's Willard and Dibs.
What makes Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater different? We always bottle our Alpine Springwater less than 1.5 miles from the spring source, and all our bottles are made with 50% recycled plastic from our own recycling plants. Crystal Geyser, bottled at the spring source.
Meanwhile, at Xfinity. So, influencer life going well?
Oh, yeah, I'm up to 32 followers.
Oh, that's something.
Yeah, posting my tap dancing videos is easier than ever because we engineered Xfinity Internet with 99.99% network reliability.
Talk to me.
This place, Splash, I think this is going to work out.
Yeah, I think they're going to make it.
You know, yeah. No, this is like, because you come to a situation like this and there's always this one question, which is, are people going to find their way down to Thrive City in this area of the city to get ready, not just get ready for Warrior games, but to get ready for other events. I know it's brand new, but now this is our fourth or fifth time down here, and it keeps filling up. It keeps filling up early. And I want to ask all these people the same question that I get when I go to the dog park at 10:30 in the morning on a Tuesday.
Where the hell are you from?
Yeah, people are like, what the hell do you do for a living? Like,
right?
What are you doing? Why are you here? I want to ask all these people that. It's Thursday. It's Thursday at 2:30.
Right.
What the hell are you all doing with your lives?
Well, I see over here a group of Long Lunch. I see a group over here of like, oh my God, my team is playing tonight. I can't believe it.
Right.
I see some baseball fans on the side, and I also see some, I've got so much money, I don't even know
right.
where I
like
am right
like that
now.
Kid's in fourth grade. What's he doing here? It's a school day. What's he doing?
Shout out homeschool.
He's running around at Splash, just freaking out, eating whatever he wants.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good life. It's a good life.
And his dad's got a tall pint, too, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It is. It's a good life. Anyway, glad you're all with us. Moses Moody in 25 minutes. Kirk Lacob probably will be right after that. So we're going to have all the Warrior perspective that you could possibly want and need. And that goes for the college basketball as well with Arkansas and Texas Tech. And that's the second one, right?
Yep. Maryland and Florida is the
Maryland
opener.
And Florida going to get this whole thing started down here at Chase Center. So should be a real good look tonight. But taking your phone calls until then, 888-957-9570. And we hear it a lot. And a lot of people directed at Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is not good with young players. Well, in general, how are you feeling about the Warriors' development of young players? And you can extend this back, I guess, a little bit. But when you think about the dynastic run and whatnot, really the second half of it, at all times, one way or another, it has involved some homegrown talent starting to kind of move forward. And, you know, you're at an age now where as the stars get more expensive, you have less ability to go out and get, obviously, the Iguodalas, but the Livingstons and the David Wests and players like that. And so you need more from inside the building. And that is one of my top five questions for wherever the Warriors are going to go for the rest of this year, is how can those guys, the Posts, the Moody's, How, even Kuminga, how can they contribute in a postseason run?
Well, they're going to have to contribute, especially now with GP2 out for, you know, 4-6 or 3-6 or whatever, however long it's going to be. It looks like you're going to have no GP2 for the time being. And if you look at their roster, Mark, and you take Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler, they've all played at least 12 years in the association. And the next up on that list is Kevon Looney. So Kevon Looney's been with the Warriors for 9 years. Is it fair to say that they developed Kevon Looney? They drafted Kevon Looney, and, you know, he went through a myriad of injuries, and Kevon Looney now has won, I believe, 3 NBA championships. And so, you know, Kevon has gone from a UCLA player, and I think that he was a late first-round pick, as I look back at my draft list. Yeah, he was the last pick in the first round. Is it fair or unfair to say they developed Kevon Looney? Because
of course it's fair. How could it not be?
Well, he didn't turn into an all-star. And he went from a guy who was drafted 30th overall, and all Kevon done is played 9 years and won 3 titles in a role.
You get credit for that.
I think so, too.
Absolutely. I mean, look, if the bar is going to be all-star status, then I don't think we're being fair. That's not what every draft pick is supposed to be or can be or whatever. But if you make a pick and you want to re-sign that player, and that player contributes to something that's very important, that's a win.
Yes.
You get development points for that.
And I have the same bar with the Niners, and this is where you and I have had some debate about, like, for example, Aaron Banks. You drafted him, you developed him, and then you didn't want to keep him, and maybe the price was too high, fine. But for me, when you draft in the NFL, when you draft a player, if you sign him to a second contract, that becomes a win.
Yep.
And I look, the NBA is a little bit different, but it's also kind of the same. Like, Jordan Poole is a good example. You drafted Jordan Poole, you developed him, and you signed him, and then you traded him. And I know there's a lot more under the rug that we don't need to get into here.
Circumstantial.
But when you look at the Jordan Poole draft and the Jordan Poole development, are you going to tell me that they didn't develop Jordan Poole?
Of course they did.
He averaged 20 a game in the year they won a title.
And this is a guy
that
was, he was in the G League, and he worked his way into being a nine-figure player and somebody who helped win a championship.
Right.
So, of course, you get some development points for that. So people want to weigh in on this. 888-957-9570. Glad you're with us. It's Willard and Dibs out here at Splash Thrive City. We got March Madness down here. College basketball. Very big environment that's already happening here at 2:40 in the afternoon. Moses Moody joins us in 20 minutes. Kirk Lakob right after that. Christian in Fairfield is first up on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Christian, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Good.
I think the Warriors did a great job at developing talent from the beginning, like from Draymond to Looney to Jordan Poole is the best example, and that fans put too much on the organization and not enough on the players, and they do that every day with Kuminga. So I don't have a problem with Kerr or any of the Warriors organization. I think they do a great job at talent.
Tell us more about what, like you said, that you hear fans do it every day with Kuminga. What specifically did you mean by that?
Okay, well, there's a caller that called and said that, why do they put Kuminga in the corner? Well, why doesn't Kuminga cut to the basket and get an alley-oop? Like, or they say he, you know, when Kuminga clears the screen like he did against Pods and he pulls up for the jumper, why doesn't Kuminga go set a screen and roll like Jimmy Butler? Like, they always say, Kerr this, Kerr that. Well, Kuminga this, Kuminga that. I can do that all day. Like, it's on the player also. Moody played himself from a shooting guard to a starting power forward. Is that on Moody or is it on both? I think it's on both.
Well, Christian, agreed, Christian, yeah, and that's been my point this whole time.
I think that's totally fair. Look, obviously the whole thing is shared, but like this is sort of the baseline that I use, and I use this with my kids. I told you that story the other day with regard to my daughter and her soccer team. No matter what it is you're trying to do in life, if you stick with it, your opportunity will come.
Right.
And then when that opportunity comes, that's the moment that matters. What do you do with it? And so, Moses Moody is finally getting his opportunity this year. It's a weird time to talk about it because he's missed about a billion three-pointers in a row. But I think...
joins us in 20 minutes.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying now.
Okay.
But largely, he is making the most of the opportunity that is being presented to him this year, I feel.
Right. And for me, that is part of the development. And the whole thing about development is a two-way street. Like James Wiseman, did the Warriors not develop him? Yes. Did James Wiseman not get better on his own? Yes. So if you want to look at where the blame lies, and I know he's out with a bad injury in Achilles and he'll be back, and he was starting to play better in Detroit when he had more opportunity. He was playing better a little bit. He was playing a little bit better.
But he's the number two pick in the draft.
Right. So, but you drafted an 18-year-old with no experience, and that's where I don't want to make this all about Kuminga, but when I look at Kuminga, a guy who spent 1 year in G League Ignite,
yep,
and the G League is not known for fundamental development. It's all about, like, you play well, you get elevated, and then he came here, he didn't get to play, he's gotten better.
Yeah, but Jonathan is a very, no matter what, at his floor, he's a viable NBA player.
Right.
I don't know if he's a star.
No, but, I mean...
but, like, he can play... James... James is a bust.
And again,
I'm sorry. James and Trey Lance are busts.
If you want to say that,
and they've not had great opportunities, but you have to work your way into that opportunity.
Well,
that's what I believe.
And I love the statement. You have to work your way.
Yes.
I go back to Jordan Poole, who Jordan Poole was struggling early. And you look at the year during the Steph injury during COVID and Draymond shut it down. Jordan Poole went to the G League, and he got a lot better, and he worked on his craft, and he got better, and he became a guy you had to play, and he was a bucket getter, and all the rest of it. And I look at Kuminga, and he's gotten better. He's only 22. I'm not even close to ready to give up on him, but the whole idea for me, Mark, about development is a two-way street.
Yes.
One, you got to be on a team that needs you to play a lot, or you have to go in the lab, shout out Guru, and you have to get better on your own.
No doubt. I just think in general, you can see talent. And then you blend it into the whole, like, what's the opportunity that is at hand and how can we work this way in, and does someone force their way onto the court? Here's something that I never believed to be true. I never believed this. If somebody has been a professional for 4 or 5 years and they do not get, and they've been in multiple organizations and they don't get a big-time opportunity, there are still people out there who will go, well, still haven't seen him play. And my answer every time is, there's a reason.
Right, they've seen
that
him play.
That person can't play at the level that's necessary. So whenever someone goes, still haven't seen Trey Lance play, right, and you're not going to in the NFL either, not anytime soon, he's going to now have to maybe go to Canada in order to get a shot. Two organizations have looked at him in practice every day and had no inclination to put him into the game. And James Wiseman is not much different for me. Tougher deal for him.
The injuries
were even worse.
Yeah.
But James Wiseman, when put through the window of number two pick in the draft, he didn't make it.
Yeah.
He didn't make it.
Well, his race is not yet run, and he's young enough to be a player, but he can still...
But he can't live up to that, I don't think.
He could. It would be quite a Cinderella story.
That would be unbelievable.
And if he were to live up to that, then it would take him going in there and getting a lot better on his own. And this is where I think about development. And I'm looking at the Boston list of draft picks. Boston took Jaylen Brown, number 3 overall in 2016. Did they develop Jaylen Brown, or did they draft a guy who was already really, really good?
Probably a little bit of both. But you have to do both. You still have to develop players.
Did the Warriors develop Steph Curry?
Sure.
A little bit?
Absolutely they did.
He got better on his own, though. He got strong, and he did all his work with Brandon Payne.
That happened within the framework of Warrior basketball and practice and Steve Kerr coming in and changing the offense.
I do think we give teams too much credit. We give teams too much credit for development.
Well,
Steph Curry doesn't become Steph Curry without wanting to do it on his own.
Understood. But to me, there's always plenty of credit to go around when something goes well. If you draft a player and he's good, you get credit for developing. I don't care where you drafted him, because we've watched so many, even even all the way up at number one, not develop. I just don't. I don't know any other way to sort of quantify it. Let's go to Jimmy in Bayview. Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Oh, hey guys. Thanks for putting me on. I think Mike Dunleavy's done a great job drafting. I think Bob Myers, had a mixed record drafting, and I don't know. With Moody and Wiseman, or Moody and Kuminga, to be honest, I would probably package them both together and go after a big name next year. So that's where I'm at. And Poole was traded, and it costed us the first. So I don't know what you guys have to say about that. Thanks.
Yeah, like, I get it. I totally get it. And, Jimmy, thank you. But I still don't know how much, even if you're like, I'd package them and trade them. Well, that doesn't necessarily say how you feel about the development of the player. I get that people want these players to be further along. I do put it through this sort of a filter where it's like you're on the Warriors. You've had to develop on a team that has always been competing for a championship. That slows the process a little bit. They have gotten better. Have they gotten better enough? I don't know. That's where you then fall into the bucket of I'm not sure how much is on the team and how much is on the player. But I have seen enough to feel like young players can get drafted by the Warriors and become good NBA players. That they've had quite a few.
Right, and I don't appreciate Bob Myers catching a stray there, because if you want to look at their draft picks, he got hired in 2012. Here are the order of his first round picks.
Let's
after that.
Let's hear it.
No pick, 30, 30, 28. I'm sorry, 30, 30, no pick, 28.
Yep.
So his first six drafts, and you can give him credit for Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green if you want, because that was the year that he was kind of transitioning with Larry Riley. But his first six drafts, the highest pick he had was 28.
Exactly.
And in 3 years, he had no pick. So if you want to, like, scatter him with a shotgun for bad picks, you could do that. But if you want to go through, like, all these names, Damian Jones, last pick of the first round.
Right, but he got Looney with one of those number 30 picks.
Correct, and he's still here.
Yeah.
And, like, Jacob Evans at 28. When you're picking in the high 20s, you might as well be taking a second rounder.
Well, the bottom line, though, is that after Looney, it goes Damian Jones, Jacob Evans. You give him Jordan Poole at 28. I'd say at 28, that's a great hit.
Yes.
Then there's Eric Paschal in the second round. That's not much.
All rookie team.
Right, but the problem
for Bob
Myers.
For James Kincaid.
The problem for Bob Myers, fair or foul, is the watershed pick. The face of his picks, if you will, is James Wiseman.
Yeah.
That's my word, a bust.
Yeah, and I'm not going to bet against it, because if he turns out to be an 8 or 10 year NBA player, that would be an unbelievable come from behind story. Because right now, it's looking like he gets healthy and he goes to Europe. Or
maybe
Asia,
even if he becomes an 8 to 10 year player, like he's 7 feet tall, he can be on a roster, and I'm not going to call that a hit when you were the number two pick in the draft.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
Like you can't just be on a roster. You gotta
be somebody. You gotta be a dude. And I would love to, if we want to go back to one day in history, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that draft room when they took Wiseman at number two and really find out who had the loud voice. Who was saying, this is the guy, and, you know, what else, you know, what were the other thoughts in the room and whatnot, but ultimately, it didn't really cost you a title. Like, the Trey Lance pick with the Niners, you could look at it and go, man, if they wouldn't have given up those first-round picks, maybe they win, maybe they beat the Chiefs, maybe they would have had a dude who could have made the difference, but the Warriors still went out and won a Larry O'Brien.
Or, what if they hadn't made that pick, and they had done something else at the quarterback position, and that may have gotten in the way of Brock Purdy. You may have never picked Brock Purdy, and you may not have gone to the Super Bowl at all.
True.
That gets pretty tough. Let's go to Telmo in the city. Hey, Telmo, thanks for calling. What's up?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
You know, I keep hearing this notion of Steve Kerr doesn't know how to coach players and the organization doesn't know how to develop players. And I just look at it like, look at these guys like GP2, Juan Toscano-Anderson when he was with the Warriors. These guys that bounced around the league, home, and they found a way to put him in the system and make players that they were the best version of themselves was with the Warriors. Even you look at Santos in that situation, and these are players that when they succeed, it's because they try hard, they give it their everything. And you know, honestly, there's just some players that I feel like, you know, don't do that. And when we look at Jonathan Kuminga, and people keep going, oh, it's the organization's fault, it's Kerr's fault. Yeah, he's athletic, but why does he not rebound? Why is he poor at free throw shooting? Why doesn't he get a jump shot? These are things that aren't necessarily the organization lack of trying or coaching. These are things that as an individual you need to get better on. So, you know, I just don't understand this notion of they can't develop players when I've seen firsthand them maximize so much out of players that otherwise wouldn't necessarily be successful the way they are within the Warriors organization.
Listen, Telmo, thanks. I think that that's fair. I really do. Like, I think what you're looking for is, like, for instance, are you drafting players that you then try to develop, you don't get much out of them, and then they go somewhere else and they really pop and become stars,
yeah,
or they become winners? I don't really see that. I don't see that. Like, if the Wizards were a playoff team and Jordan was super consistent, and by the way, that's not even a good example because he did contribute to a championship team with the Warriors and establish himself as at least a very good player in the NBA. I think what you're looking for that are the red flags about development with an organization we don't see. I don't see those with the Warriors.
Yeah, like you said, a player who you had who goes on and does great things elsewhere. The one that I think about who may have gotten away is Chris Boucher, who played about 90 seconds and got hurt, and he was gone for a year, and so he ended up cutting him, and it was a roster thing more than it was a lack of faith in the player, but he's gone on to be pretty good. And you also talked about Ty Jerome,
yeah,
who you didn't draft,
you
had him, and then you didn't keep him, and he's gone on to be pretty good. And there's always going to be some players who go elsewhere and do well, and that's just the cost of doing business.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We're here for the nachos. We're here at Splash,
too.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
We're here, and Thrive City is really starting to fill up.
It's thriving, Mark.
It is, and Splash is doing the same. Everybody's gathering around to watch everything that's going on this afternoon here in San Francisco, including the big games with the Sweet 16 here, with two games about to light up Chase Center tonight. And we're about to light up the show a little bit further here coming up in 5 minutes, because we will go live to New Orleans, live to a hotel where Moses Moody is sitting and waiting to chat it out with us. And then Kirk Lacob is going to join us here in person live right after that. So, Warrior fans, don't go anywhere. We got you covered right here on Willard and Dibs.